Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel, or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Hello, this is Chris Grimes, your host and curator of the Good Listening To show, Stories of Distinction and Genius. Before we get going with today's show, very excitingly, it's one of the live theatre show versions of the Good Listening To show, which is also available as an events, festival or theatre show, and one for an in-house show for clients to showcase your business too. So yes, have a look at www.thegoodlisteningtoshow.com. That's the new website for the show. And there are a number of series strands as to how you too can get involved. By being in the show, there are lots of business benefits too, because you get to reach a large global audience of about 1.3 million, care of my weekly show on UK Health Radio, which is broadcast globally across 54 countries. So yes, if you've written a good book, if you'd like to showcase your business, or if you'd like to host an in-house event with a difference, then the Good Listening To show is available as a live theatre or events show. Enjoy today's show. It's with Neil Malarkey from the Comedy Store Players, talking about his new book, In the Moment. And his was the second of two shows recorded live and with audience Q&A that evening. My previous guest had been Rosie Cavaliero, award-winning actress and comedian, who was actually defying the laws of physics by being in the show with me live that night, because as I was speaking to her, she was also going live on UK national television on BBC One with her new sitcom, The Power of Parker. Both shows were live streamed to Facebook and YouTube simultaneously, and there was a Q&A for both guests too. So yes, enjoy tonight's show. Neil Malarkey, Bar Theatre Royal, talking about his new book, In the Moment. Hurrah!
Welcome to another episode of The Good Listening To show, your life and times with me, Chris Grimes, the storytelling show that features The Clearing, where all good questions come to get asked and all good stories come to be told. And where all my guests have two things in common. They're all creative individuals and all with an interesting story to tell. There are some lovely storytelling metaphors. A clearing, a tree, a juicy storytelling exercise called 5-4-3-2-1, some alchemy, some gold, a cheeky bit of Shakespeare, and a cake. So it's all to play for. So yes, welcome to the Good Listening To show, your life and times with me, Chris Grimes. Are you sitting comfortably? Then we shall begin. Ladies and gentlemen, min, and people on YouTube and Facebook, would you please say hurrah and we're here. Good evening. marvelous. Wow. There is a rule in comedy improvisation where if you can't top it, stop it. So that's given us a bit of a tough task now. So that was a very, very jubilant beginning. Thank you. So welcome if you've just tuned in on Facebook and YouTube. Facebook, YouTube, YouTube, Facebook. Doesn't really matter. They're streaming in. There are billions of people down the old camera lens and hundreds of thousands of people here at the Bath Theatre Royal Ustinov Studio. Let's have another cheer, please. If you've not seen the show or heard the show before, where have you been? But it's the show in which I invite movers, makers, influencers, mavericks, personal heroes to a clearing or serious happy place of their choosing to all share with us their stories of distinction and genius. And with that imperative in mind, who is going to fit right into that beautifully? Would you please welcome my first guest of the two that we're doing this evening, if we pardon that particular expression. Ladies and gentlemen, would you please welcome the king of improvisation all the way from Londinium, Mr. Neil Mullarkey. Again, that's not the end of the show. We've still got more to do.
Oh, right, okay.
So good evening. Would you like a kiss or are you all right?
I'll have a glass of water.
Yes, decant some water.
Thank you.
Oh, you've done that already.
I got somebody to do it for me.
Because
whenever I do things on stage, speeches and stuff, I have a little rider, which is where you have, say, I want jelly babies and towels and stuff. And I always say, please can somebody pour the water for me? Because otherwise you're going...
Yes.
Especially if it's fizzy, boof, and it goes all over, you can't, and you're trying to do, you know, urbane humour, and you're covered in water.
Yes, and well done, you've not covered yourself in water, all is going smoothly. So you're extremely welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. Thank
so
you.
I know you know who you are, but just to blow a bit of happy smoke at you, you're obviously an English writer and comedian and actor. And by the way... Keep clapping, that's good. When I Googled you, by the way, Rotten Tomatoes actually are talking about you rather sadly in the past tense. They're saying, was an actor who had a successful Hollywood career.
That's okay.
But I
don't do much acting these days. It's a lot of hard work. You have to wear makeup and everything and learn lines. So I sort of said goodbye to that. And then in 2021, we filmed a thing called The Pentaveret for Netflix, which was written, created by Mike Myers. People might have seen that on Netflix, The Pentaveret.
Yes, and indeed, Mike Myers was your alma mater, friend of old. You've been in, I think it's two of his films, obviously, which were...
Well, Austin Powers, the first one, International Man of Mystery, which I gave him the title. In The Stage, has anyone heard of The Stage? The Stage is the newspaper for people in show business. So occasionally there were adverts for actors, you know. Do you want to go on a cruise for 3 years and get paid diddly squat? But there were also adverts for acts, mostly sort of show acts who might be on that cruise. And one was called Mr. Smith or something, brackets, International Man of Mystery. Not just Man of Mystery, International Man of Mystery. So I showed this to Mike and he took it to be the title of the first Austin Powers movie. And I'm also in the third one in Austin Powers Gold Member.
Gold member. We're all going to sing that in a moment, obviously. So, yes, and Mike Myers was a co-founder with you of the Comedy Store Players, is my understanding.
That's...
And you have got the dream gig because you're in central London every Sunday.
Yes.
Without fail.
Without fail. Well, we did fail for a year and a bit.
Yes.
Because of you-know-what, beginning with Pan and ending with Demick. So the Comedy Store Players, in October, it will be 38 years we've been doing it. So Mike and I were doing a double act called Mullarkey and Myers. Crazy title.
I like the billing there.
Yes, that's right. Myers, yeah. Others occasionally say Myers and Mullarkey, but no, it was alphabetical, I think. And so the Comedy Store Players was founded by us two, Kit Hollebach, who'd worked with Robin Williams in San Francisco, and a guy called Dave Cohen, and Paul Merton. Those three were doing a show at the same venue as us at the Edinburgh Festival in 1985, before most of you were born. And they said, oh, let's do some improv, because Kit had done it and it sounded fun. So the Comedy Store let us do Sunday nights. The other nights were stand-up, or actually they sublet it to discos, because comedy was still fairly... Alternative comedy was fairly new in those days. And we've been doing it every Sunday ever since, really, apart from that break because of the you know what?
The theme beginning with P and ending in...
Yes. So Mike was there in 85. By summer 86, he went back to see his family. His father was not well, and also he was offered the chance to join the Toronto main stage of Second City Theatre Company, having been in the touring company. We may get onto this for a while. Chris tends to ask me one question. I could finish an hour and a half later.
Marvellous.
But Second City was the improv troupe in North America.
Yes.
And Mike taught us improv, the same sort of improv he'd learnt in Toronto with Second City.
And if I may, I'm sort of following, if you'll pardon this particular expression, in your slipstream, because I'm part of Instant Wit, which has been going back 10 years. We've been going for donkey's years, like 30 years now. And in fact, my co-director, Stephanie Weston's in the audience this evening. Marvellous. But we're 10 years behind you, and you were always the sort of, the pinnacle of, wow, that's the comedy store. And I've seen you at least three or four times in that venue.
We're very lucky that we still have this venue. There can't be many performers who've got a guaranteed gig once a week for nearly four decades. It's incredibly lucky. Also, we're very lucky because we invite the most brilliant performers to come play with us. So Greg Proops was in town the other day. You might remember him from Whose Line Is It Anyway. He dropped in, and it's people who are much younger than us are happy to come and muck about with their codgers. And it's an incredible privilege to be able to stand on stage for 2 hours, say the first thing that comes into your head, and get paid for it.
Indeed it is.
So it's a bit like Whose Line Is It Anyway, but there's no Clive Anderson and there's no editing. Or TikTok, and they have improv on it, TikTok, where the audience gives suggestions and we act it out there and then. It's a wonderful form of theatre, which before I'd been in it, I couldn't believe could actually work.
Yes.
2 hours with no script. No, it's a cheat.
That's a new format you've done then, if you're doing it on TikTok as well.
I haven't. Young people do
Young people.
We film some of our bits.
Yes, I'm sure you do.
and put sort of TikTok-friendly segments.
Have a go on my hand, by the way.
Is that right?
Ooh,
I say.
That was quite
so lively. We do that, but there are people... My niece, of course... who's actually a doctor in her 20s, said, she watches quite a lot of improv on TikTok. So it's young people trying different ways of just improvising in the street and so forth. So it's a really wonderful form of expression, really, to do things that have very little prep.
UK Health Radio. The station that makes you feel good.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news. It doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your reoccurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
And you're pushing on an open door because I love improvisation too. And we can't obviously pass much of the evening with noticing you've written a book as well, which we're going to talk about.
Oh, have I really? I happen to have a copy. Yes. In the moment. In the moment.
Yes. And you're doing a lot in the corporate arena, which is what we'll get you to talk about too.
Yeah. Well, actually, about the turn of the century, I was beginning to think, oh, what am I going to do with my life? And actually, it's getting the sense that theatre and art could have something to say that to people who had jobs in organisations. And improv is all about listening, working together. I don't know what I'm going to say. I don't know what you're going to say, but together let's co-create something. Nobody's got sole responsibility, but we both share the joy of where it'll go. And that is a very applicable skill. And little did I know how applicable it was. It's interesting because actually Bath has many memories for me because I was thinking of coming to Bath Business School to learn how to do business, to do an MBA, the Master of Business Administration. And one of the professors there said, oh, hello, aren't you the Neil Malarkey I saw doing improv at the Bath Fringe years ago? I said, yeah. And she said, why do you want to come here? And I said, I think I better need to know about business before I can teach business people improv. And she said, really? Do you? Such of a good question.
Yes.
And I talked to her. I talked to her former boss, who had been a drama lecturer before becoming a business lecturer, then had retired. And he said, oh, no, you don't want an MBA. You'll talk like them. And he said, management is easy.
That's quite Alan Bennett.
It was, yes, it was. I think he came from Yorkshire. But he said, management is easy. Have a plan. Communicate it. And that's
and
very simple.
Collectively saved you tens of thousands of pounds.
Well, I did say, Ian, please recommend me some books. And so I read about 10 books to understand a little bit about how what I thought was helpful, because improv is about dealing with difference, uncertainty, where's it going to go? What's the custom going to think? Suddenly they do different things. Suddenly the government changes the regulations. Suddenly new technology comes in and that thing now works differently. You're all the time working with uncertainty. So to have that mindset was helpful. And also every conversation you have is a bit improvised, isn't it? Mm. There's no script, is there? If there were, it'd be quite a dull conversation.
It's like this. Our thinking unfolds as we go along.
Yes, Ian Forster, I think, said, I don't know what I think until I see what I write. Mm. So much of our life is improvised, but most communication training is scripted. How do you present? That kind of stuff. Anyway, I've leapt ahead.
So, look, let's get you on the open road, then, of letting me curating you through the structure and the storyscape of the Good Listening To show. So there's going to be all the usual lovely stuff. There's going to be a clearing. There's going to be a tree. There's going to be a juicy storytelling exercise called 5-4-3-2-1. There's going to be some alchemy, some gold, some storytelling apples. How do you like these apples? And there'll be a cake and some Shakespeare at the end, too. So let's get you on the open road. So where is a clearing for Neil Malarkey? Where do you go to get clutter-free, inspirational and able to think?
Well, you have asked me this question, and I thought I'm going to give two answers. This may well be not allowed, but there's a place, which is the Comedy Store stage, when I'm on stage with my fellow Comedy Store players, and we're in flow. The audience give suggestions, and we are taken hold by the whims and the gods of improv. We're in flow. The muse comes. It's wonderful. That's a very busy, crowded environment, 400 people on stage, in the audience, six on stage. And it's kind of busy and indoors. On the other hand, just getting the train here today from London to Bath, I realised how much I adore the English countryside. So I love being in the mix with lots of people performing, having a crowd, bouncing off other people. But I also love solitude. I think especially since lockdown, when solitude was quite difficult to find sometimes, I just like walking on my own. As I got older, just walking and not having to get somewhere on time. I remember sometimes when I used to do, I do quite a lot of international work, and in those days when you went to New York, your phone wouldn't work because you didn't have coverage.
Yeah, I remember.
And now you can. And it was just lovely to think, nobody can get me.
And you're off to Zambia tomorrow, and you...
Yes.
You said that the dream is that you've got 3 days of...
Well, it's not such a dream now, because, of course, what's going to happen with, my aged in-laws and my own mother. So that's a bit worrying. But it will be nice to be not having to answer to timetables. Yes. I quite like that. I like quite just walking and thinking, I don't have to be anywhere for an hour or two or half an hour or 3 hours. But I particularly love the English countryside. I used to live in Sussex, and my heart just lifts looking out of the window as I see that particular stone that you have on the way here, those little villages, that Cotswoldy look. So I like that as well. I like the solitude and I like being busy. And dare I say, this could be many of the answers, the paradox.
Yes.
That I couldn't do without this, and I occasionally seek out that.
And there's that lovely Nietzsche quote, if in doubt, walk it out. So I completely relate to the idea of being outside.
Well, actually, absolutely. St. Augustine, I think, said something like, no problem can't be solved by a walk.
Ah, we've gone all intellectual. That's lovely.
What do you mean, gone? I always was, Doug.
So then we've got, I'm going to turn up with a tree now.
Yeah.
So it's either going to be in your train carriage or on a walk.
Yes.
Or on the Comedy Store stage.
It's like a tree. So let's go with the clearing in a wood. Bluebells on the floor. And it feels like nobody's around except for you, me and the 1,000 people we have here.
Lovely.
And everyone at home.
Yes, don't forget the Facebook and YouTube people as well. So, yes, I'm now going to arrive with a tree, a bit Waiting for Godot-esque existentially,
yes.
And I'm going to shake a tree to see which storytelling apples fall out. I've already said this, but how do you like these apples? Would you like an apple to clutch? As we
okay, think of it. It's a little bit like the poison apple in Snow White, isn't
don't
it?
Don't eat it, it's a prop.
It is a prop, isn't it? Although, one of my favourite things, did you remember, there's a scene in Laurel and Hardy where there's some wax fruit, and he starts eating it. That's Stan Laurel. Oliver Hardy can't believe it, but Stan's quite enjoying the wax fruit. But I won't eat it.
Yes, he's my all-time comic hero, Stan Laurel. I know exactly the secret.
He is mine.
Well, snap. Do you want a high five? No, we'll do a high five later.
A virtual one.
A virtual one. So, yes, I'm now going to arrive then to take you through the 5-4-3-2-1, which is 5 minutes to have thought about 4 things that have shaped you, 3 things that inspire you, 2 things that never fail to grab your attention, and that's borrowed from the film Up, where some random squirrels are going to come in. Squirrels, don't throw the squirrel in yet. And then a quirky or unusual fact about you that we couldn't possibly know until you tell us. So how would you like to interpret the shaking of your canopy, Neil Malarkey?
I'd like my canopy to be shaken. Are there canopies? Don't you like a bit of finger food?
I love a bit of finger food,
yes.
A finger buffet.
So are we doing the four things?
Yeah, 4 things that have shaped you. First
four things that have shaped me. I can't get away from my family, and I don't want to. My family, they shaped me. My school friends shaped me. My college friends shaped me. And this thing, improv theatre, which I've done for nearly 4 decades, has definitely shaped me, both on stage and off.
Lovely, lovely answers. So that's the 4 things really concisely. Any of those you want to go into a bit more depth of?
Yes, if you like. So my family, I've got a mum, a dad and 2 brothers. And they have always been very supportive. My father has passed away now. And he always said, study at school and then university something you love. Don't think you've got to get a job. And so I took him at his word. So I did maths, physics, chemistry, A-levels. Because I thought I'd be a doctor. But then I was in the school play in the lower sixth. The school play. And I smelt the joy that we're experiencing now. The audience, laughter. And that's what I wanted to do. And then I was in the play the next year. And I wanted to be in the Cambridge Footlights. So the Footlights is where Monty Python, Stephen Fry, Hugh Laurie, Olivia Colman, Sacha Baron Cohen, many, many, Emma Thompson, many famous writer, performers and others. So I got to be president. And by the second year of my university, I'd gone away from maths, physics, chemistry. I was studying economics because I had to do something before my dream, which was to study social and political science. I wanted to study the thing about how people react and interreact as individuals, as groups. I love how we become who we are, how we're shaped, and then how groups work together or don't. Mm. So I did social science social psychology, how children become who they are. There was a paper which I couldn't resist called Deviance.
Excellent.
Deviance. Which was basically about how society others, certain people, otherizes. If you're not in the mainstream, how do we see you? And of course, in the 1980s, that was different from how it is now. But there was an essay, for example, on is there such a thing as a criminal personality? Is there? Are we all doomed to have no self...
It's a rhetorical question.
Free will, yes. But, you know, are we all just prisoners of our past? Anyway, my father said, do you want to do this? Yes, I do want to do showbiz, Dad. I do. And he said, okay, do it. Whereas my brothers, one was a chemical engineer, one was an accountant. Very proper jobs. And it was funny because soon after I graduated, I was on the dole. Is it called that anymore? Supplementary benefit, income support. Not very much money, but more than they get now. And my rent was paid, which is unthinkable now, perhaps. Anyway, so I heard my mum on the phone to one of the family friends. Oh, yes, Neil. Neil, yes, he's trying to break into show business. And I remember she asked him, what are you going to do? Because I was thinking, oh, it's easy, just go to Edinburgh and get on Radio 4, easy. And, you know, eventually that did kind of work. And she thought, are you going to just send off applications to those adverts in the back of the stage? They need dancing girls and a cruise to Norway.
Perfect casting.
C'est moi.
Yeah.
In fact, one of my friends had got a job as assistant director of the Belgrade Theatre in Coventry. And I said, come on, a Russian for the Panto. Panto, yeah, funny, funny, buttons, I can do that. It was an audition for the chorus.
Oh.
So it was first thing, so we all, looking around, everyone's in leg warmers and stuff, and then on come this choreographer. Now, first of all, we do a bit of this, and she was saying words I didn't understand. There were obviously choreographed moves, and I let myself out gently, and my friend said, oops, I got it wrong.
So a life in pantomime was not for you?
Was not for me. So that's my family. They've always supported what I do, been slightly mystified by it. My school friends, that's when I realised laughter was wonderful. We laughed a lot. Monty Python, we still laugh without even really saying much now.
Yes.
That's when I became a little bit of who I am now, opening up my eyes to where the world is, perhaps some of my values and my sense of humour, for sure. My college friends, so I had some college friends in my college, and I had some Footlights friends as well, all of whom have shaped who I am, my sense of humour, and just this, again, when I'm with my college friends, it's just I don't have to be anything other than who I am, which I'm still trying to find, but I know I'm that person that I was then, even though I'm fatter, older, and greyer. And I feel very much at home with them. And something about that period in your life it forms who you are. Mm-hmm. Later on, perhaps I'll talk about how we do develop, but those are the things. And then this thing came along. Mike Myers was selling tickets for a show. Mike Myers, I should say, was selling tickets for a show I was in. The ex-Cambridge Footlights, we'd gone on tour to Australia, came back. We're now a year out of Cambridge, so next year's lot could use them, the name Cambridge Footlights, so that's Steve Punt, Hugh Dennis, Nick Hancock. Mm-hmm. So we put on our poster X Footlights, and we're playing a tiny theatre in Notting Hill, and there's a bloke selling tickets for us. He's in a wheelchair. Not because he's a wheelchair user, but because we'd use all the proper chairs on stage. We thought it'd be funny why the audience was coming in to be eating crisps and stuff like that. It wasn't really. They just thought we were odd. Anyway, so he was... And he was Mike Myers. Now, in 1985, he wasn't anybody famous. He'd done pretty well in Toronto, done child acting, and he'd been in Second City. And he had a character called Wayne, who at that stage came from Scarborough, which is a not very glamorous suburb of Toronto. Years later, he'd moved him to Chicago, Aurora. Anyway, so Mike made me laugh. Mike Myers. I hope some people too young here. Shrek. Austin Powers, Wayne's World.
Great connections.
There you go, exactly. Because even Shrek now is a bit old hat, although I can reveal there's a new Shrek on its way soon.
And is he going to voice Shrek again?
Yes, he is.
Of course
Anyway, so Mike and I did a double act. First of all, I said, what are you doing? He said, I'm writing sketches. 1985, I said, nobody's doing sketches. It's all alternative comedy, stand-up, punchy, political. And then I took him to see some stuff, and I said, let's do some stuff. And we did sketches, which were very well received because they were quite different and energetic. And other comedians liked us because we weren't treading on their toes, I think. And we looked like we wanted the audience to have a good time rather than to hector them. And so then he was talking a lot about what he'd learnt with Second City, this improv thing, which actually, just to digress for a moment, improv, this thing where the audience gives suggestions to the actors, didn't start with performers, certainly didn't start with comedians, it started with a social worker in the 1920s in Chicago, and she was helping children. They were a bit shy, perhaps they were disadvantaged, perhaps they weren't even native speakers. She created exercises to give them the confidence to speak up. And it was her son who said, wow, these exercises could work as a form of theatre in their own right. So by 1959, he'd created Second City Theatre Company in Chicago. Second City, because Chicago is the second city of America, I guess. And he told me about the ethos of this improv. It was all about treating what the other person says as an offer, to accept the offer. Yes, and if I say, good morning, Mr. Johnson, you're Mr. Johnson. And you say, good morning, Mrs. Johnson, or good morning, Mr. Squirrel, or would you like this table and the reg, you know, egg and bacon, whatever. So you'd, and oh, yes, I'll have egg and bacon. So you gradually build up the scene together. And Del Close was one of the founders of this thing in the 1950s. And he was talking very much about how we co-create, how we collaborate. And so you can imagine somebody in an improv scene wants to write the whole thing. And he said, don't do that. Bring a brick, and together we will build a cathedral. That sense of collaboration through the uncertainty, all we know is that we're doing it together, really affected me. As well as going on an improv workshop for a couple of weeks with Desmond Jones, the Desmond Jones School of Mime. He taught, I think he taught lots, Greystoke as a movie taught people playing gorillas had a move. In fact, I know Tarzan, because Tarzan had been brought up by gorillas. Anyway, he'd also worked with Keith Johnston, who was one of the gurus of improv here in the UK. Yeah. At the Royal Court is a writer's theatre, but in the 70s, Keith Johnston said, we can make much better theatre without writing. Yeah. So I learned in that time some improv. Mike was talking a lot about how we endow somebody with something. So if I say, Chris, it's great that you got out of jail. That's yes. A scene. There's a story there. Yeah. Rather than going, hello, who are you? What's going on? Mm-hmm. And also things like, there's a squirrel. Oh, a squirrel, what's going on? Oh, is more fun than squirrel. Look.
Can I just commend you for the bring a brick and we shall build a cathedral. I thought that was lovely.
I know. I have said it virtually every week since I read it. And it makes me tingle every time because I'm not good enough on my own. I've done some stand-up. I find it very lonely. But also I find in life I'm not good enough on my own. And there's nobody from whom I cannot learn. Having children as well, my goodness, they teach you things. But people of all ages and, dare I say, educational achievements can teach you so much, whatever their story is. So anyway, where was I? Improv, this thing that Mike introduced me to. We formed the Comedy Store Players. We did it for years and have done it for years. It became the thing I really wanted to do more than anything else. I did have a sort of moment on our 10th anniversary in 1995 where I was always the one who used to book who's on, make sure there's six people on. And I got a bit tired and I thought, I was also feeling a little bit fed up because I could see that spending... We used to do Wednesdays as well, 2 hours on a Wednesday, 2 hours on a Sunday, doing stuff that then gets forgotten, fluffy, frivolous improv. There's other people at home spending those 4 hours writing novels, film scripts, theatre. Why wasn't I doing that? So I said, I'm going to leave. I'll stop. Make use of that time better. Paul Merton took me for lunch and said, don't leave. You love it. Take 3 months off. So I said, all right, 3 months off. After 6 weeks, I was ringing up saying, has anyone dropped out? Maybe I could come.
So you had an impro sabbatical.
I had a sabbatical.
Yeah.
And actually, the moment for me was realising, not that I'd spent too much time doing improv, I hadn't spent enough. And that was the moment where I realised, actually, I want to do more improv, and the way to do that and to teach this beautiful art form, which was all about vulnerability, all about dealing with failure and not knowing, all about sharing, spread that to beyond the stage. These skills can work off stage. They indeed started off stage with a social worker giving people chance, young people chance to feel they could contribute. Mm. And that has been...
I really hadn't appreciated that. It had come from the 1920s, actually. That was something new to me.
Yeah. Yes.
Wow. We could now be then, please, onto the three things that inspire you. So, three things that inspire you.
Three things. I'm going to get cheap by saying people, because I'm inspired. Three things. I'm going to say Andy Smart,
yes,
formerly of the Comedy Store Players. He died of a heart attack. And this is where I have to have my glass of water. Two months ago. He was such a funny man. Such a funny man. And just full of life. Full of life. He ran with the bulls in Pamplona. You know that thing somewhere in Derbyshire where they play football for about a day with a massive ball, about 300 people, over a river? He'd turn up every year and commentate on TalkSport for it. That thing where they roll a cheese down in cheddar. And people get really badly injured.
He'd always be tanking alone.
But he'd be saying, yes, I'll be there. He ran with the bull about bulls about 50 times. One time he's in a restaurant. He ordered oysters for starters. What do you want for your main course? Oysters. What do you want for your pudding? Oysters. So by the end, he had 48. And the patron came out and said, if you can eat two more, i.e. 50, I'll give you them for free. And he ate 50 oysters. And the whole restaurant applauded him. He was a funny, funny man. And he wrote a book called Hitch in Time, which is about how he decided to hitch around Europe in his sort of the period where he was sort of leaving university and becoming a comedian. And it was all about he dreamed of being a comedian. Now, for me, the Cambridge Footlights was fairly easy. People had done it before. We used to sell out at the Edinburgh Festival. He went not to Cambridge. He started on the street. He was part of the Vicious Boys, who then won Best Street Act in London in 1984. So he inspired me because he would, and at his funeral, he'd written some notes to his children that they'd found, which is, and many of them were just wonderful, recommending bars across the world. But one was just say yes and then find out how to do it. Just made me laugh. He never failed to make me laugh on stage.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Ugh, fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
So that's Andy Smart, and indeed I could say all the Comedy Store players, really, and our guests. The other one, or two more. One is Frank Farrelly, who is the father of provocative therapy. So when I was in this period of thinking comedy, improv, could bring more to life than merely the hours or two we spend in the theatre, what about the rest of your life? Comedy, I've always thought comedy is a unifying force when done right. Which is mostly, aren't I rubbish? Anyone else rubbish? Yeah, me too. Rather than, look at him. He's not in our gang. He's a deviant. He's not in my gang, so I can laugh at him. That's othering. That's bullying. That's what they call disaffiliative humour. Affiliative humour is, we're all in this together. Crikey, how are we going to do this? Oh, we did that, didn't we? We were a bit rubbish, but we were okay. Bringing people together. So Frank Farrelly, I went along to a day at the Comedy Store. I'd seen a poster. They're going to have a day about the theory and science of comedy. So there was sociologists, psychologists, neuroscientists, and there was Arnold Brown, who was one of the comic strips. So in the 80s, there was the comic strip. alternative comedy, Rick Mayall, Jennifer Saunders, Dawn French, Aid Edmondson, and this 50-year-old accountant from Glasgow.
Arnold Brown, yeah.
Arnold Brown. And his catchphrase was, why not? Why not? If there's anything you don't understand, then assume it's intellectual. Things like, I've got a cult following me. I've got a cult following. At the moment, it's the Jehovah's Witnesses. So he supported Frank Sinatra once at the Glasgow, grief. You know, whatever, Ibrox Park.
We've all done it, yeah.
So Arnold, there was a note saying he joined up with a doctor, a proper doctor, to kind of look at how comedy and health were related. And I wrote to him and said, can I play? And so we became the Academy of Laughter and Health. Dr. Brian Kaplan, who's a GP and a homeopath, but he called himself Dr. Fishhead because he had a fish like that and a tie made of fish. And Arnold Brown. We were called the Academy of Laughter and Health. We did two gigs. One was at the New End Theatre in Hampstead, a former mortuary. And the other one was at the Freud Museum, which was where Sigmund Freud ended up in London in Hampstead. But then Brian Kaplan, the doctor, said, this guy I met the other day, he does provocative therapy. And he played me a cassette of Brian being interviewed by Frank. And again, there was a moment of transformation. Provocative therapy, Frank Farrelly was a professor of psychiatry, and he worked especially at Madison, Wisconsin, in North America, Mendota State Mental Hospital. So really severe cases, murderers, suicide watch, just people with, you know, had to be locked up for their own safety. And he had hitherto studied a thing called client-centered therapy, Carl Rogers counseling, which is just for the funsters here, which is, I can only understand you if I put myself in your shoes. Put myself in your shoes, understand why you feel this way, and you can see that's an ethical way, empathizing. But there was one Friday, he was a bit tired, and he was talking to this client, and the client was going, yeah, my life is rubbish, it's terrible. And Frank went, oh, shut up. You'll never get out of here. And the client went, yes, I will. And it was the first time the client had gone with something authentic and assertive and actually lifted their body. And he thought, I'm onto something. So he experimented with things like, you want to give up smoking? Oh, no. You want to smoke more. You should be smoking more. That's the trouble. And the client goes, what? Do I want to give up smoking? And his whole ethos was, the client has it within them. The answer is within them. And all I'm doing is teasing out what the answer is. I'm satirizing their self-limiting beliefs. And people would say to him, how do you become a provocative therapist? Because there'd be other things like, I want to give up smoking. Oh, no, you'll never do it, mate. Don't bother. Don't bother. And so there are various interventions.
So calling out that you're a loser.
Exactly. Yeah. And also there's research says that people like, you know, with your name will never give up smoking. Your name's Chris? No. You can't. There's some research. And they go, what? And the whole thing was to kind of, he said, holding up a hall of mirrors to make them really think about and feel. And you could see I went to see him. I went all the way to see him because my literary agent said, I can sell a piece in the paper. I wrote a piece and they didn't sell it. But I met Frank and his wife, and he was just fascinating. And he described it as teasing people back to mental health.
By provoking them to do so.
Yes, and provoke means provoke for the voice.
Yes.
Help them find their voice. And of course, it might look like you're bullying them, but you're not. You're doing it, and he always described it as with open heart chakra. and a twinkle in your eye, because you have a contract. In fact, what you do is you do it for this period, and then you stop, and then say, how did that feel?
Yes.
And so he would do this in front of therapists and executive coaches, and somebody would volunteer, and then they'd film it and stop it and say, how did you know? What did you notice? Mm-hmm. And so the person could then talk about the process.
Yes.
And I was absolutely thrilled by this, because I'm teasing people back to mental health. Seem to be a
and
wonderful.
Are you chronicling that in this book as well?
I do mention about it. Yes. I do, and I use it in my work.
Yes,
things like just gently. If people say I can't do this, I might say, "Well, you can't do it yet," and then tell me about the thing. And then I said, "You've just done it, you idiot." You've just done it. What are you talking about? Who's that person you're pretending to be? So just gently realizing that they may have a script internally that may not be actually the one that's helping them. So yes, I talk about it. I talk about Frank in the book, definitely, because that was, first of all, opening my eyes to the possibilities of improv beyond the stage.
Yeah.
And secondly, I went to see him in the Netherlands, and there were lots of coaches there. I mentioned them before, executive coach. I'd heard of coach, football, basketball.
Yes.
But there are now coaches in business. I didn't understand what that was, but then I realised that this was just part of what was going on. People in business were looking outside to coaches, but also to people in the theatre and the arts to say, how can we use what you do so successfully to help us?
Because a profound suite of transferable skills that are incredibly
completely
powerful.
Transferable. This was one of my things I heard on the radio. Somebody from Ashridge Business School, which I'd heard of, which is near London in... I was going to say near Luton, but that would be wrong. It's north of London. Anyway, he said, theatre is this place where matters... psychological, emotional, and mental come together. Mm-hmm. And that's, I thought, yeah, that's right. So I wrote to him and said, can I come play? And I got a gig at a business school. I know you work there as well, but it's a proper business school. And they allowed...
And that got you on the open road and on the path of opening up like a front.
That was one of those things where I said, oh, I can do this, actually. Yeah. I'm allowed into this, the temple of business, or business training. And gradually... other leads came. Somebody approached my voice agent to say, hey, Neil seemed funny in the Comedy Store. We're pitching for the Visa account, you know, Visa credit cards. Mm. Can he come in and do 20 minutes stand-up comedy on credit cards? Luckily, my voiceover agent, I don't know why they approached her rather than somebody else, said, you can't just magic stand-up comedy out of nowhere, especially on one topic. But Neil, and I talked to her about my process of, I think this is what I want to do. And she said, Neil looks... now to teach improv to people in business. Mm. There was a management consultancy. My wife was at a hen night, sitting next to somebody who was in communication for a management consultancy.
Yes.
And she said, yeah, that's a great idea. Because before, we've had people come in who are actors, who are teaching you how to project and everything. Trouble is, when you're a management consultant, the audience is tough. You know, you need to improvise. They're heckling you. They may not be throwing things at you, but no matter how well you project your sonnets in Shakespeare... they're asking, so what, mate? What about this thing you haven't thought
about? You can't just turn up in a cravat and expect them to be impressed.
Exactly. Or with a whole pack of stuff. They do get a whole, here's the answer to everything.
Yes.
And the client goes, well, what about this? And they go, well, that's not in the pack. Let me talk about this.
And it links beautifully to the provocateur idea, because you go in as an outsider, almost like a maverick, an outlier, as I do, where you sort of get in there.
You're an outsider. You don't know the rules, or you pretend not to. And I can say, well, the boss clearly is an idiot, aren't they? Clearly,
yes.
That's the problem. Just get rid of them. And they're going, well, no.
Yes.
Or,
call it out.
The thing is, you know, marketing are all, immoral people. Sales are even more immoral. That's the problem. And they're going, well, no, actually. And I said, well, why can't you talk to each other and realise that you're all in one team? Mm. That kind of thing, sort of holding up sort of silly stereotypes of different jobs and functions to say, well, what's really going on here? Mm. And how easy it is, for example, for people in a job to say, well, of course, every meeting we do is rubbish. It's all his fault. You know, it's all their fault. And I'm saying, well, why is it? You're in the system. Mm. You're in that improv scene. Deal with it. Mm. You've got something to do. What was it
and
you
the
said
whole world
before?
Is always improvising because all making this shit up as
you
go.
You said
anyway.
Before we came on, I don't know if the audience at home heard it, which is if you can't top it, then stop it.
And speaking of if you can't top it, stop it, rather sadly we do have to stop it for today because that's the end. We've run out of time of part one of two with Neil Malarkey from the Comedy Store Players talking about his wonderful new book, In the Moment. So yes, see you next week. And in the meantime, don't forget to check out www.thegoodlisteningtoshow.com if you too would like to be my guest here on my show on UK Health Radio to reach a large global audience of about 1.2 million and growing in 54 countries. If you'd like to talk about your business, your new book, at the website, there are a number of series strands that explain exactly how you too can get involved and be my guest. So yes, we've stopped it for today. See you next week for part two with Neil Malarkey. Thank you for listening to your good health and goodbye. You've been listening to The Good Listening To show here on UK Health Radio with me, Chris Grimes. Oh, it's my son.
If you've enjoyed the show, then please do tune in next week to listen to more stories from The Clearing.
If you'd like to connect with me on LinkedIn, then please do so. There's also a dedicated Facebook group for the show too. You can contact me about the programme, or if you'd be interested in experiencing some personal impact coaching with me, care of my Level Up Your Impact programme, that's chris@secondcurve.uk. On Twitter and Instagram, it's
@thatchrisgrimes.
So until next time, for me, Chris Grimes, from UK Health Radio, and from Stan,
to your good health.
Goodbye.
At Ability Chiropractic, we believe every child deserves to grow up healthy, strong, and connected to the incredible power within their own body. From infants to adults, our doctors specialize in purposeful chiropractic care that restores balance between the brain and body, helping you and your family live and heal the way you were designed to, naturally. Families across Columbus are choosing to build lifelong wellness from the start. Discover what true health feels like at Ability Chiropractic. Schedule your visit today at abilitychiro.com.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com, RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring. Right.